It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, you know how people talk about the nuclear option when it comes to things?
Sure, it's like the last resort, the very last thing you would ever want to do.
And frequently involves a lot of collateral issues.
Sure.
I tend to think of it in terms of like monster movies and stuff, where there's like a breakout of zombies or you know, gremlins or whatever. And the government's last resort is always like, oh, we're going to nuke the place. Like literally the nuclear option in that case.
Is that where that comes from, that idea of?
I would assume nuclear weapons have always supposedly been the last resort.
And, yes, that's true, yeah.
And there is this vibe that it you know, you're also sort of hurting yourself in the process because it's hard not to. They're not a very circumspect weapon. And in my mind, when I do see it in these movies, it's usually one of two results. The most common one is we end up not having to do it. That's usually what happens. We just want the tension. Like, oh, if superhero McGee doesn't solve this in 20 minutes, we're going to nuke this thing. And then superhero McGee solves it at 19 minutes and 58 seconds.
Superhero McGee, man, you've got to write a story about Superhero McGee, man.
Superhero McGee. It lasts exactly 20 minutes. But the other option, much, much distant second, is they use the nuclear option literally. And it was a terrible idea. It ruins everything, usually the whole planet. On occasion, it actually doesn't solve the problem and makes the specific problem worse in addition to other fallout.
Godzilla just gets more powerful.
Exactly. Absorbs it causes all of the living dead to incinerate and go up into the clouds and rain down on everyone everywhere. I have never seen one where the option to nuke them is like, wow, that was a great call. Like that really took care of it. Never happened. I bring this up because I recently had to use the nuclear option within my own brain and it went as it does. So this is about earworms.
Okay.
Those songs you can't get out of your head. And I am one of those people. I don't know one of those people. I've literally never met anyone else like this, but this is a type of person I am. Where I will listen to an album or sometimes just a song over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Just loving it, just constantly. And then kind of never listen to it again. Or at least not for a long time. Like, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. I'm sick of it. And this can be a problem because if I've been listening over and over and over again, by the time I'm sick of it, it might be a little stuck. And I recently had this problem for quite a while, like a week or two, maybe, with a song I have been listening to a lot called Queendom by Aurora. It's a lovely song. I highly recommend you check it out. It also has a great video. But I watched it and listened to it too much. And it got stuck in there all the time. I'm trying to go to bed. I'm hearing it. All in the shower, I'm hearing it. I'm like, ugh. So I'm trying to sing other songs to get out of it. I'm listening to other things. Nothing's working. And I was like, you know, there's a song you had stuck in your head way longer than this. You had it stuck in your head for months. But it's been a long time. So you could try singing that one. See if that'll push this out. And so I found myself singing, thinking of the song Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier. You may remember this. Like the movie Avatar, we all got really into this song for like 5 days and then never again. But I really got into the song. And so I opened the Leadline box in my head and I started singing this song, and Queendom is gone. And this was like a week ago. And guess what's fucking in there all over again? Somebody That I Used to Know all the time. I don't remember how I got rid of it the first time, but it's there now. So
maybe you should have thought of that before you tried it out. Like,
you think?
How did I get rid of it before?
I don't remember how I did it. And I've listened to other music and stuff, and no, it's trapped. Sick of it. The only reprieve I get from it is when instead my mind switches to the parody version of it, the Star Wars that I used to know.
Yeah.
But let me tell you now, that is of no comfort. I do not feel better listening to that in my head. So this will be my last broadcast. I'm probably going to commit suicide real soon because I'm just, the song is in here. So just so y'all know.
Can't commit suicide because you already called listening to this song the nuclear option. So
that's true.
You can't do anything that you might construe as worse. There isn't anything worse. You're done. Movie's over.
This is my life now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if it seems like for the rest of my life, I exhibit no joy in anything, now you all know why. Hello, everyone.
It's a wheeze.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world still talking about Somebody That I Used to Know. I am confident no other podcast is doing that. I'm Tony.
I'm William, and this is episode 556.
Dang. All right. We got some old business we got to clear up.
Wow.
Tasks. For those of you just joining us, last week, Mick gave us the task of creating a Taskmaster-like task for each other. And I was so excited that I said we have to have the week to work on it. And I did come up with one. Didn't write it down. Probably should have. But it's in here next to that song. So, are we ready for this?
I didn't think of one.
You didn't?
You know, I guess I texted you a couple ideas, but I wasn't really taking it very seriously, so I haven't really thought of it. I guess I could just say the one I came up with in our text. Should I just do that?
I think you're going to have to, because otherwise I'm going to drive to your house and smack you around. Very violent today. Which is weird, because just 2 hours ago I had a very productive therapy session, so guess I got a bad therapist. I don't know.
Or a good therapist, because that means you're dealing with, you know, it's coming out. Yes. It's not being repressed.
We're slowly training me to vent all of my aggression into this podcast. So that only you and a handful of listeners suffer, as opposed to the rest of the world.
I mean,
that famous Ursula Le Guin short story, "Those Who Walk Away from the Magical Talking Hats." All right, I don't care if nobody else finds that funny. I am tickled by that. Anyway, sorry, what was your task? Go ahead.
The one I texted you was, you have to get a stranger to...
Spoiler, if you tell them you texted me. I'm surprised. This is the first. I'm opening the envelope. Yeah.
Rewind. I haven't said anything.
We'll edit that out.
Let's just pretend that didn't happen. That you had to get $10 out of a stranger by telling them a sob story based on a Simpsons episode.
What? How would I do that? Oh my goodness. But also, you need to have winning criteria, because remember, it's a competition. So in theory, four other contestants are doing this and somebody win, like the fastest wins the most money. What's the criteria?
Oh yeah, the person who can do it in the least amount of time.
Least amount of time. I think that is
good.
But the reason
I thought of that one was because Mick asked in the question, you know, you've got to have a justification for why you think this person would be good at this, or, you know, would maybe win it or whatever. And it's because you know so much about The Simpsons, you could probably come up with a great sob story, not only that's based on The Simpsons, that you could explain how it's based on The Simpsons, why it comes from The Simpsons, but you could probably tell it in such a way that you could get that $10 easily from someone, at least someone who has $10.
Well, see, now this is interesting. I don't think to me, the task should not be something that you think I'm good at. It should be something that you think, like, it's that weird area. It should be something that has something to do with me. Like, the average person on the street, if you gave them this task, they'd be like, I can't. What? No. How? I can't. I lose. For me, like, it's a definite possibility I could do this, but I don't think it's at all guaranteed that I could actually pull it off. But it's as soon as you say it, my brain starts ticking through.
But you don't think your average comedian would have been very much like yourself and watched several episodes of The Simpsons? You know, I mean, it seems like a thing an average comedian would have done.
And I swear this is true, pure coincidence, I have been encountering a surprising amount, especially compared to the zero I normally do in a week, of critical thinking with regard to The Simpsons. And what I have determined is people think about The Simpsons way too much.
Okay. So
I saw there was a thing. It was a What Culture thing on the 10 most hated episodes of The Simpsons. And out of the 10, I would say there were like two that I agreed with. I think there was one that I've actually not seen, because it was much later, because this was the whole span. I mean, I think one of them was from the current season, actually. There were like five or six, probably six, that I was like, I don't understand why that's a problem. It's fine. And one that was pretty far down the list, so like was one of the worst offenders, that I was like, fuck you, I liked that episode. And in fact, a lot for the specific reasons you're talking about. I thought it was great. So, and then also somebody felt the need to send me a thing where somebody was breaking down how there's two The Simpsons. There's the very popular show in the 90s, and then there's the thing that's been running for 30 plus years, and all the feelings about how it's just not the same. Da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, what a refreshing and hot take. The Simpsons used to be good. Ooh. So yeah, there's some, a lot of stuff there. But no, I think this is a good test. I think this is a task that would be hard for me, but it would not be impossible for me. And it is one that would incentivize me to really do it. As opposed to the task I created for you, which is basically the opposite of all of those things.
Wanted to know why you thought I would be good at it. So shouldn't it be something you think I would be good at? I mean, that was part of the question.
That's not how I went. But I mean, there are aspects of this that why it is appropriate for you.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's
keep in mind. The point of Taskmaster is not for people to accomplish tasks well. It is for people to be entertaining while they attempt it.
That's true, but I wasn't thinking of what the purpose of Taskmaster was. I was thinking of what question did Mick ask? Because the purpose of the magical talking hat is to answer the question.
No, the purpose of the magical talking hat is to take the questions and things that people send this and turn them into interesting entertainment.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, and we could debate this, but I find it weird that here in our 11th year, you're suddenly like, no, we shouldn't go off question.
I'm not being serious.
Like, have you been here before? I mean,
it, no, it ruins
the bit. If it ruins the bit, if you have to say it's a joke, we had a thing going here.
Don't, oh, okay. I didn't know we had a thing going. I thought
we're going to edit it out. We're going to edit it out. All right. Anyway, my task for you, my task for you in, no, actually, I don't want to start with the topic. Okay. Comprehensively describe what you have been learning so far in your master's program without using the words therapy, psychology, mind, person, or theory. Your time lasts until you pause for more than 2 seconds or 5 minutes have elapsed. Fastest and most comprehensive wins. Your time starts now. That's the task. And I don't think you'd be good at it. In fact, I think you in particular would struggle with this immensely. And I think it would be, if I could convince you to do it, unfortunately, I could see you on UK television reading that task and being like, nope, and walking off camera. But if you would do it, I think it would be vastly entertaining. Also, it is uniquely suited to you because a lot of people are not going through a master's program right now. So they'd be like, this doesn't even apply. How would I do this? Or they're going through master's programs that involve less therapy. And so not using those words wouldn't be that difficult.
Those words wouldn't be that difficult. You didn't say I couldn't use the word consciousness.
Yep.
You didn't say I couldn't use the word social.
Yep.
You didn't say I couldn't use the word counselor.
Yep.
I couldn't use that word.
No. No, because if I did a list that was so complete, like the trick is not to make it impossible.
I'm just saying that
yeah.
Pretty much all the words I just used would be adequate. I wouldn't have to use any of those other words.
But I would like to point out at least one of those words took you more than 2 seconds to even come up with.
No, it didn't. I just didn't say it until just now.
Well, that's
I noticed the
part that counts. What I'm saying is you had a greater than 2 second pause in listing the words. So there is a good chance that in speaking, you might pause that long and then you'd have to stop. And then Greg Davis would be like, I don't even know what you're talking
that
about.
That was a list I was coming up with while you were reciting your list. So I already knew right away which words I could use and would use.
Well,
although
it is possible that the list of words you cannot say would prove no challenge whatsoever in this task.
I don't know about that. When I hear you tell me what the task is, the thing that challenges me is actually the comprehensive part. Because what I'm actually tempted to do,
which is the first word of the task that I came up with. I knew any task I was going to give you had to use that word.
The temptation is to not be comprehensive. The temptation is actually to say like three sentences that I think adequately sums up everything that we've been learning, but that would probably not be construed as comprehensive because it's just three sentences and, you know, I'm skipping over a lot of detail. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, in just the five classes I've taken so far, a lot of the same material has been covered over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be comprehensive and it still wouldn't sound like very much because it's like, yes, we covered that six times between that class and this class. But you're right though. It would be difficult to.
Well, and that's the thing. I think the very strategy you're thinking of is a sound one in a competition. And I think could net you a good 3 or 4 points. I think it is a common one others would have. The specific reason this is a task for you is I think that would be hard. you'd always want to be a little more comprehensive. That word would niggle at you. Whereas yeah. most people, when they read the task, they would probably almost immediately just sort of ignore that word.
There's two things that happen. One is for that particular question, my impulse is not to be comprehensive. Because again, all I'm thinking of is there's only about four things I could list that we've really covered. So my inclination is not to be comprehensive. But since the question's asking me to be comprehensive, then that kicks in that other thing that you know very well about, which is it's hard for me to be comprehensive and not, you know, first of all, the thing you said about pausing, I would do that. Like the first thing I would do yeah. is pause, because I'd be like, well, how can I be comprehensive about this? And then I'd lose right away because I'm already thinking about how to do that. But even if I got started, even if I thought, okay, well, don't pause, just start talking and try to be comprehensive as you go, I would stop like 2 seconds in to think about the next thing I'm going to say.
Yes. Which I'm now realizing actually the task should have a longer, the pause issue should be longer, because it's only 2 seconds. If you gut instinct, I'm like, I'm just going to summarize 1, 2, 3. After that, you would not be able to stop yourself from saying more. But you could probably stop yourself for 2 seconds. And it's way more entertaining if the pause is long enough that you're like, bam, 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 done. Well, also, then it's more entertaining. So,
well, I have that third problem, which is...
no speaker to English?
I'll say something just sort of off the top of my head, then I'll think, well, that's not entirely accurate. Let me say that again in a way that's more accurate. Yes. That's a whole other problem, which would cause delays, like you're saying, but also it would prevent the thing from being comprehensive, because if it's only 5 minutes long and I'm having to restate something I just stated and over and over again,
refine.
Then yes. I might not be as comprehensive in that 5 minutes.
I'm very proud of this question.
That's another
problem. Or of this task. I'm very proud of this task. I feel like I did well. Now, I hear a lot of you saying the point was to do the tasks on the air. And that was specifically why we're doing it. To which I say, you seen this show before?
Was that the point? I didn't know. I thought
it would be. I mean, yeah, it was specifically supposed to be something. And we had the episode in which to do it. And like, I really got the sense that we were supposed to come up with these tasks that then we would actually do with each other.
Oh.
And this is not a show about doing. It never has been. What are you talking about? You fools. And this is not directed at Mick. This is directed at what I assume are a lot of listeners who were hoping that's what would occur. And I'm just like, what? No, that's not us. For those of you just joining us, though, you shouldn't have expected that either. There's a hat. It's magic. Sends us emails. It has his email, which you need to write into. The hat is low on emails. It needs more emails. Email the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever you want. I mean, Azurtalon sent us a photo of Mick Foley for a podcast. That's weird, but we did it. We worked on it. Like, send what you want, whatever it is, give it to us. And we will put it on the air and talk about something else. Maybe. Maybe yours will be the one we actually talk about. So how's your week been? It's only 5 days, but how's your week been? This is how much I give back to the community. We have to record earlier so that I am able to have lunch with a listener on Thursday. That's how much
I care. That's nice, because I was going to ask if there was something going on, but I didn't.
No, there's a listener who we were supposed to get together last week for lunch, and then I couldn't do that because of my booster shot fucked me up. And so we're going to do it this week. And then they are helping somebody else through some stuff right now. And so their week is mostly full. And they were like, Thursday I could do it though. And I'm like, I could probably move that. So
yeah, that's good. I'm glad that worked out.
It's one of our few unnamed listeners, but they're out there.
Oh, it's my week. Well,
your 5 days.
I still have the WoundVac thing, and
are we hoping we're going to get it off Thursday?
I don't think so. I mean, there's some talk about, well, here's the thing. The talk right now is that if that were to happen, it would be replaced by some other process that I wouldn't find an improvement, basically.
So you, like, you would still not be free, as it were.
Right. I mean, if they ask me what my choice is, if they say, well, we could keep doing this, Mr. Wright, or we could move to this thing. I mean, I don't like this, but most of the alternatives that I know of are not better. So
just a big dude that. With a plunger, just constantly like yeah, well, this on your chest. It's not
whatever.
Good.
So, and so that opens up,
so to speak,
complications, because I mean, it's looking like it might be like another couple weeks, which means interfering with Thanksgiving, because they don't, if something goes wrong with this thing, they want to be able to respond in a timely manner, because otherwise, if I have this thing on and it malfunctions, just like having it when it's functioning, it's good. Having it when it malfunctions is bad. So I don't want to, like,
because it just becomes a sucking chest wound at that point.
It's just bad.
It's like artificially created. Oh yeah, that'd be terrible.
So if anything goes wrong with it, I need to have someone respond. Fair. I mean, like 2 hours is almost too long.
Which is how far you would go for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Exactly. So if I still have to have this thing on Thanksgiving, my Thanksgiving's done. I can't go.
It's gonna be a bummer.
But that's a couple weeks away, so there could still be, you know, some things. But also, though, some of the alternatives wouldn't be any better, because I wouldn't have to worry about the machine, certainly, but my exposure to disease would be worse, like my more vulnerable.
So traveling to other places would be prohibitive because you might catch some shit.
Right. Oh. See, the machine makes me less likely to get infected, but if it breaks down, I'm in trouble. But the other methods will allow, I wouldn't have to worry about the machine, but I would be more likely to get infected.
More susceptible.
So the thing, basically everything has to be solved by Thanksgiving, and that's just not looking likely.
Or else it's just not, yeah.
So that's been kind of depressing. Also, I've been really tired. So it's been really hard to do schoolwork. And I don't think my schoolwork's really been up to snuff. I mean, I'm still doing okay. My grades and stuff are still okay, but it's like, it makes me a little nervous when you know that I'm struggling for that to happen. Like, when is my lack of sleep going to catch up with me? And I'm not going to get something done, or it's going to be crap, or, you know, when is this all going to, because it feels like, trying to do this while I'm recovering is very, very difficult. And it feels like sometimes I'm not going to make it. Like before the end, I'm going to fall down and something terrible is going to happen. And I'm going to have to talk to my professors and say, hey, please try to understand that, you know, this is going on. But,
and
so I don't know.
They should, and most likely will. I mean, you have a very obvious and definite medical issue.
True.
But I've been talking to people, other people who are familiar with this.
Oh, okay.
I've talked because I try and explain to people. I'm like, my friend has a fart machine attached to his chest. And they're like, what? And I explain it better. And some of them are like, oh yeah, that thing. And I have learned two things from most people. Most people are like, yeah, it is an incredible advance in medical science. It's really kind of awesome. Two, it fucking sucks.
No pun intended. It's
the
terrible.
The whole time is awful, and you don't know how long, and it's usually longer than you think, and da da da. So, right, your experience apparently is fairly standard.
Yeah, I mean, Monday was 4 weeks, and there's not really any indication of when it'll stop. But like I said, there is talk that, well, maybe it's in a place we can do something else, but. The something else's that I know of are not better. So I don't want to do that. If I have to keep it for another, I can't imagine 4 weeks, but if I had to, I would rather do that than just about any other alternative that I know of. And It was too bad.
Can we just like get like two or three chip clips? Those are have good, like new ones where the spring's not worn out yet. Like,
I mean, there is a reason the answer to that is no, but it's kind of really? A gross reason. So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the same reason they didn't just stitch me up because, and it's the same reason this makes weird noises. It's because there's, okay, fine. There's a drainage issue. You've got to you've got to remove fluid or else that's going to cause a problem. That's part of it. Which is what makes it grow. Like, this is another reason I don't like to go places with it because, you know, there's not just, besides the noise, there's not just the tube coming from my chest and looking weird. There's stuff going through the tube. That's gross. So, you know, I don't like to bother people with it.
I did find that interesting. I'm glad you told me, and it's enlightening. And I think that is great. I do find it hilarious that the impetus for this was you needing to explain to me why a chip clip would not work instead, as though I was like, yeah, why couldn't we use a chip clip?
I realized that some people might be wondering, why didn't they just suture it up or something?
Yeah. Well, including me. No, and like I said, it's great information. I just love that that was the tip for it.
It just seems, I think some people might think it seems like a really complicated thing when you could just do, you know, not a chip clip, but suture it up or something. Well, there is a reason why they can't do that.
A whole bunch of this is, there's a thousand other solutions that would work on basically any other part of the body. But because it's my goddamn heart right here, we can't, because like I said, I had a similar experience with my spinal wound. And we didn't have to do any of this because it wasn't my heart right underneath and like my chest cavity where all my good organs are, you know, like that kind of shit. Like, so it sounds like a lot of it are like, yeah, the reason it's complicated is because it's right here. If it was anywhere else.
Yeah, that's part of it. The nurse that comes is a really great gal who comes and I really like her a lot. She says that my heart sounds really loud, like to her, like, you know, when she listens to it, it sounds really loud. And
you say, I'm sorry, you're just so pretty.
She said, she asked me if I'd heard it, if I'd listened to it. And I hadn't because, you know, my heart has been crap my whole life. And whenever I've listened to it, it just sounds like this. I mean, I hear other people's hearts. Yeah, it's terrible. It's just a terrible sound. And I hear other people's hearts, so I know what a heart's supposed to sound like, and so I know how bad it used to sound. And I thought it would be so weird to—I don't know—I just thought it would be weird, so I didn't do it. So she insisted that I listen. God, it was so weird. It was so weird. First of all, it was super loud. I mean, I could not believe how loud it was. But second of all, it was just really, you know, because of the. Prosthetic valve. It was just so crisp. It didn't sound real at all. I mean, it didn't. If you get a completely synthetic valve with no biological parts in it, it clicks. Actually, the valve opens up and it actually clicks. So you sound mechanical. This didn't sound like that, but it did sound. It did sound unnatural. It sounded,
do not walk on that keyboard. You would be in so much trouble. Sorry, it's a cat.
It sounded too good. You know what I mean? It sounded like, it didn't sound like a real heart. It sounded like
oh my watching, God, that's Superman's heart.
Yeah, when it sounds like when you're watching a movie and they put the stethoscope on someone and you hear a heart and you know it's they just made this sound effect up so it would sound crisp.
Yeah,
and nice.
No, it's a scam. She's got a little dictaphone in her thing. She just wanted you to feel good about yourself.
Anyway, it sounded weird. She kind of got moved by the whole experience and teared up a little bit because she thought it was so cool that I'm hearing my own heart really kind of for the first time is not being this horrible sounding sloshing thing. And it is kind of nice.
I'm waiting for you to start running marathons and powerlifting and all sorts of shit
there. Yesterday, so they want, because they're worried about my, you know, after surgery, they're worried about your heart health and your lung health to make sure that everything's working right. Right. So there's a cardio rehab thing. And so they want to make sure I'm walking or exercising or whatever. And I wasn't getting out so much. So we bought a little.
Because of the pharmacy.
Sometimes it's raining and sometimes it's kind of hot and whatever. So we got a pedal machine that I could use to just get in steps, you know, whatever, not really steps, I'm pedaling. But so I was pedaling last night using it. And I mean, like, I felt like I could just do that and do that and do that forever. Like, I didn't feel tired. I didn't feel hot. I didn't feel, I mean, there's even some tension on it and stuff. No problem. I felt like I could go forever. But eventually I stopped because there were other things to do. And and the problem was, even though it felt good while I was doing it, totally fine. I could have done it for hours, I'm sure. When I finished, my heart rate was high for hours after. Hours.
Mm.
So that was a concern. Then I realized, because Abby's really good about putting my pills in the like pill boxes or whatever. And I noticed, oh, I didn't take my heart medicine this morning. So I know, isn't that terrible? I have to take this twice a day.
This is a thing though. Well, welcome to the pill takers of the world. This is a deal. If I miss my drugs for more than one day, I'm sick. Like, I'm like, I feel sick. I wonder what's wrong with me. And then I'm like, I forgot my pills for more than a day, like for 2 days. Like, that's a thing.
So that was probably the reason that happened, was because this is blood pressure medicine. I don't have high blood pressure, but my heart rate is crazy and one of the things they say is that, you know, when I had a crappy heart, my heart had to work really hard all the time. Now it doesn't have to work so hard, but it doesn't know. So it's just doing its thing and it doesn't realize that it's overdoing it. It doesn't need to work that hard. So I have to take this medicine. And when my heart races like that, it doesn't feel good. I mean, I feel.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Ugh. You know, I don't feel good.
I've been there a few times if I overdo it in a workout. Yeah.
Now, while I was pedaling and my heart rate was that fast, fine. Like, I didn't feel winded. I didn't feel tired. I didn't even. It used to be when I would jog or run or something. I felt it in my heart and chest. I felt how hard it was working. And that wasn't a very pleasant feeling, but that's what exercise felt like. This was like, like nothing. Like, I didn't feel anything. Like, it was like I was doing nothing at all. Yeah. But I was, you know.
Your heart finally has a motor that's powerful enough for the chassis it's built to.
I guess.
But it needs to relearn the amount of pressure to put on the gas to adjust.
And then, and when I stop, it needs to go, hey, I can stop now.
Yeah. I can coast a little bit here because I've built up momentum.
It was just an amazing feeling to just
really trying to make this car metaphor work. And I don't know why, because I don't know shit about cars. So
it was just an amazing feeling to just go and go and go. And it's like, wow, this is easy. This isn't hard at all. It was great. But then, like I said, I stopped and it just sort of, my heart didn't stop with it. And so
take your pills.
I know, I got to take my pills. Twice a day, I got to take them. But okay, I got, this is the box that Abby has for me because it's got morning and, but I've got other pill boxes too for my daily pills that I only take once a day. And then she got me some pill boxes for my pain meds I was taking four times a day. So she got special boxes for those. And I'm only taking those now just when I need them. So
we've got a whole thing now. But Trish essentially doesn't touch her pills except when she takes them, because she's been very bad. I tend to be pretty good at taking my pills. I don't know. I just get in the habits and it works pretty well. Mostly because I take them when I wake up and I take them when I go to bed. So it's pretty easy. But she was very bad. And so she finally decided she was going to consolidate all of her pills at one time because it was easier for that. And it's not ideal, but it's better than not taking them.
Yeah.
And so she did that. But one of her pills, it actually really makes a difference. You're supposed to take it with nothing in your stomach, like first thing in the morning. And it really makes a difference if you don't. And so now we have a system. First of all, I'm the one who puts all the pills in the containers every day. But also in the morning, I wake up. First thing I do is get her pill and go bring it to her. And then her other pills aren't even in the pill thing, because the night before when I made her lunch, I put them in a little thing and I put them in, because some of them have to go with food. So she takes them to work with her and she eats them while she's eating her breakfast and things like that. And then the weekend is tricky. Every once in a while, we'll forget on the weekend. But yeah, we have a system, but it's entirely based on me doing it because, and it's not, it's because she was really struggling and this is something that I'm good at. Cause yeah, I also it's really, do it for me. So
it's good to have a spouse who can help you because, you know, Abby's making all the difference. Cause I'm sure I would be screwing all of this stuff up if she wasn't helping me. Cause you know me, I can't remember.
Well, secondary thing though, things. She also does have an alarm on her phone at noon every day that says, take your pills. So if for some reason I'm not there or whatever, she does know, but you just got to do what it is, because we're not at the point where it's all, you know, an implant that slow releases it over time. We got to take the pills and it's fucking important.
And you got to take the pills.
Spoiler alert. The older you get, not fewer pills you're going to be taking.
Right. Right. Although they've already lowered the dose on this,
good.
On my heart medicine. So there's a good chance I can lower it again, but I probably won't be able to get off of it completely. There's probably going to be some dose I have to take twice a day just to prevent my heart from like racing. And it really feels awful when that's happening. So, and I've got a blood pressure cuff and I check it all the time. So it's, you know, the whole recovery thing, it'll be 8 weeks on Friday.
Oy.
And I told my nurse that I said, they said it would be 8 weeks and it's going to be 8 weeks on Friday. And she said, well, sometimes they're pretty optimistic about these things. She didn't want me to think that 8 weeks was such a big deal. She doesn't, that's her thing. She doesn't want me to get discouraged by everything that's going on, but it's kind of hard not to. And I've been looking for a therapist.
I think it's bad to do that. I think it's bad to say it'll be about this amount of time. I think that should have been full of caveats of like, everybody's different. It's totally a thing.
No, you're right. Like, you're right. It probably should have.
Well, and I'm still, and I don't know if it was her, but whoever it was that like 3 weeks ago was like, maybe in another week you'll be off this. I'm mad at whoever they are.
Well, that
that was irresponsible to say.
That wasn't her. That was the clinic. That was actually at the University of Iowa. And I was kind of surprised they said that because I don't like to look at it because it freaks me out. But from what I could gather based on responses and what I could see, because another thing is I can't really see from here.
Yeah.
But I thought, no way, it's going to be a week. That can't be right. You know, unless you
talked about that. And I was like, who knows? In my head, I'm like, the medical professionals know, what the hell? But yeah, turns out they were full of crap.
Hey, I'm going to see him on Thursday. And I'm, like I said, this, what's probably going to happen is,
tell him I said,
if they say, well, we can take it off, they're going to say, but you have to do this instead. I'm going to go, no, let's leave it, because I don't want to do that other thing. That's just going to be as bad.
Netting.
Yeah. Well, another thing is whatever,
posting guards outside.
A lot of the alternatives would demand more of Abby. Because whatever the thing that needs to be done, I can't do it myself.
She basically would have to be your fart machine.
And basically, which she's perfectly willing to do. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I don't want that. And this is fine. I can live with it for a little while longer. But there is a limit to how far it can go. I mean, the procedure for packing it uses this sponge-like material that after a while is not good for the tissue. So when you can no longer use that material, the thing won't work anymore, but that might be before it's actually fully healed.
Yeah. So you might have no choice.
There might be a brief period of time, a few days, a week at most, where I have to do something else, but that's all I want. I don't want it to be 4 weeks of something else.
If you are looking at a therapist, I would highly recommend my clinic.
Really?
Absolutely. My clinic is also my one of my friends. That's how I got there. Is one of my friends has been going there for years, and I was going to see their therapist, and that didn't work out schedule wise. So I saw a different one, but I love them.
Right.
I will say they have the worst name. Somebody, whoever came up with the name, should be fired, because they are called Covenant Family Solutions, and they are none of those. Like, that sounds absolutely like, hey, the Latter-day Saints started doing a branch of psychiatric work. Like, that, there's nothing religious about it. They're very progressive. they have a whole bunch of people who specialize in LGBTQ issues, which is great.
But they're in Marion, though?
No. Well, first of all, you can do it this way. That's how I've been doing it. But no, actually, some or all of them are now in Coral. And in fact, next week, I am going to go see my therapist in person for the first time in Coralville because of the talk we had. Because you were asking about that. And I'm like, you know what? I actually don't know. I should find out. And so we're going to do that.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if there's a difference. But no, I would highly recommend the clinic. I guess I technically only know about two therapists, but those two are awesome. And like I said, the name is terrible, but if you look at the website, the stuff they're saying, I'm super into. And like, it'll tell you, like, here's the different therapists and here's the sort of areas they tend to specialize in. It's great.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll look into it.
And I mean, I don't know what your insurance is, but my insurance loves them. So
that's kind of, obviously that's the big deal, is like, well, what will insurance pay for or whatever?
That's always the deal.
Sometimes it's complicated by the fact that in Iowa, if you are not a licensed therapist, but you're supervised by one, the insurance will pay for it, or it's supposed to. So yeah. A lot of the therapists who are working aren't licensed, or they're temporarily licensed, but that's okay. I mean, their supervisor's licensed, and so that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's a tricky thing. You have to make sure that gets covered or whatever. So anyway, I talked way too long. You probably have things to talk about your week.
Not a ton. We are, I am heading into the second viewing of Ted Lasso with my wife.
Okay, how does she like it?
To my absolute delight. And I told her up front, I'm like, I want you to be honest about this. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. I'm still going to make you watch it all, but you don't have to pretend to like it for me or whatever. She appears to be reacting to it almost identically to how I did.
Okay, that's good. In that
we've only watched three episodes.
Oh, okay.
The first episode, she was like, it's pretty cute. Which I think is fair, because in rewatching, the first episode has a lot of pilotness to it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
There's a lot of things in there that are very indicative of a pilot episode, and not as good because you have to front load a bunch of stuff. But still good, and she still liked it. And she's like, yeah, it's cute. Second episode, she laughed her head off. And the third episode, I was like, we could watch it tonight. She's like, I don't want it. She's like, I'm hoarding the episodes because there's only so many.
Yeah.
And by the third one, she seems to be in love with it. And that's like, this is really following the pattern I did. So it's really fun to watch it through her eyes. Like, oh, like we all know it is deep and meaningful to me in probably a weird and inappropriate way. But seeing it through her eyes, it's just good and funny. Like, she laughs out loud a lot, and that is not a thing she normally does. And we talk about our favorite bits and the different characters and stuff. And we're only three episodes in. So, I mean, I think that speaks very highly of the show right there.
Yeah, it only gets better after that anyway.
I was a little disappointed last night. She didn't want to watch an episode because I want to keep watching, but she's being taking her time. So, that's been good. Also, I have done a deep dive into some shit about Ted Lasso.
Oh,
and it's amazing.
Really?
I learned bits and pieces. One of the major characters is also on the writing team. Actually, a couple of them, but one I didn't know about. I'm going to avoid spoiling things, but yeah, because I'm like, I've seen it all. So let's just type Ted Lasso into YouTube and see what comes up. And a bunch of stuff has been coming up. And here's what I discovered. Follow me through the history here.
Okay.
So the year is, I don't know, sometime late 90s, early 2000s. In Amsterdam, four gentlemen, among other people, create, maybe it already exists, but anyway, are working in Amsterdam at essentially an improv comedy place called Chicago Comedy. These men are Jason Sudeikis, Brendan Hunt, who's the guy who plays Coach Beard, Joe somebody, who's one of the co-creators behind the camera but doesn't ever show up anywhere, and Seth Meyers, of Late Night with Seth Meyers. They're all here. They all meet during this exchange. And they all, at the same time, develop a tremendous love for soccer. Seth goes back to America, presumably to get on SNL, become super famous. The other three start toying with this idea of this American football coach thrust into the world of soccer and not understanding it and how funny that would be. They play with this idea for years. It is based around a lot around the fact that Brendan Hunt is a hardcore soccer fan and gets like way into it. And apparently Jason Sudeikis, during their time in Amsterdam, saved up his money to buy a PlayStation so he could play Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And Brendan was like, you should also get FIFA. And they would sit around and play FIFA together. And basically, Brendan would teach Jason about the game through playing FIFA. And a lot of the conversations that came out of that became the conversations that later would be Ted Lasso's thing. And they parlay this, as I think people know, but I've recently seen it, into a 3 to 4 minute short film / commercial for NBC in 2013.
Right.
When NBC Sports starts airing Premier League football. And then a year after, when they make yet another commercial. Now, what this means, because I came to this, some of this backwards, is that first Ted Lasso short film / commercial. First of all, a whole bunch of the jokes in that show up in the first couple episodes of the TV show.
Yes, they do.
Yep. And second of all, Coach Beard is in it. Yes, played by the right. same dude.
By the same guy. Yep. It's pretty impressive.
And then a couple of years later, Apple TV comes to them and says, you want to make this a show? And their response was, holy shit, we've been waiting for this for a while. We got some plans. And the three of them, not Seth Meyers, the other three, write the pilot largely in isolation. And they give it to them. And only afterwards they find out that apparently Apple TV was shitting themselves because they didn't know anything. Like, they weren't hearing anything. And they read it and they're like, this is really good. We were really scared because we didn't have any info from you. But they liked it. And it went from there, and it went on to earn 7 Emmys so far. And it's awesome.
Well, I mean, those ads were actually surprisingly long ago, like 8 years or something. I mean,
2013 and 2014.
Yeah.
There was a different vibe because they were all about American football coach who doesn't understand soccer. The component of earnestness and niceness did not exist. And in fact, in one of those commercials, Coach Lasso encourages people who are angry at a referee during a match to follow him to his home, dox him, and then let the fans ruin his life for a bad call, which is not something Coach Lasso would say on the TV show.
So why do you think so that? So let me ask you, because I've seen some of the old stuff and I know a little bit about it. And so I've been curious what your thoughts are. I didn't know if you knew anything about any of that stuff, but you clearly do now. What your thoughts are, why they came up with Ted Lasso having such a different personality kind of from the original.
I mean, there's two real basic answers. One is I'm sure this is something Sudeikis had in his pocket. It feels like a lot of that came from it. But second of all is, without that, Ted Lasso is not a TV show. Ted Lasso is a short commercial you do once a year for a couple years. Like,
okay.
It's a joke, and there are variants you can tell on that joke. But if the TV show was just, look how crazy it is him trying to understand this sport and this country, it would be a six episode series that is not renewed, that we'd all think was cute and move on. Like, that's not enough to carry a TV show.
I see. Yeah, that's probably right.
I don't think there's a lot. We watched some. Oh. I do want to talk about this for a second. We watched a movie called Breaking News in Yuba County. It's been on my radar for quite a while. It has a very amusing looking trailer. I believe originally Trish showed me the trailer and I'm like, that's great. We should watch this sometime. And then much later I was like, hey, well, let's watch this. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I show her the trailer. She's like, I don't remember that at all, but it does look funny. And then sometime later, I'm like, yeah, we should watch that. She's like, what are you talking about? So it became the point where I'm like, there's this movie, which you always forget exists. And I show the trailer again. We actually watched it.
Okay.
It looks really good because it has an absolutely phenomenal cast. It has Allison Janney, Mila Kunis, Jimmy Simpson, I think, the guy who played the young version of the Man in Black in Westworld, and who's also one of the recurring characters on Always Sunny. He was a hacker in House Cards. Anyway, he's a really good actor, both comedically and dramatically. Wanda Sykes, Ellen Barkin, Awkwafina, Matthew Modine, Bridget Everton, and some people I'm forgetting. Just a stellar cast. And it's all this little housewife's husband has gone missing, and everybody's trying to figure out why, and is he missing or is he dead, and are they, who's telling the truth and who's not. It's all crazy wacky, and it's in this sort of small county. Oh, Juliette Lewis is in it, and it looks really good. And we watched it, and I didn't get Trish's initial take. Normally the credits roll and I say, what'd you think? And she tells me, I was not able to hold in my own response. So her response was only a reaction to mine, in which she said she was, quote, fine with it. Because I hated it thoroughly. And I'm not entirely sure why, because that cast is fucking amazing. So I kind of feel like I need to blame it on the direction. I don't know. What I can say is, the plot of the movie appears to be, or the premise of the movie, what if Coen Brothers, but really, really stupid. So Trish was fine with it, and so it might be worth checking out for some people. I really thought it was bad. I really thought it was bad. So take that as it is, but it absolutely was trying to be a Coen Brothers movie, like so much, and just sucked at it. Just really sucked at it. So I don't know. Yeah, I really didn't like it, but Trish thought it was fine, and Trish is smarter than me usually, so maybe it's fine. That's probably it. I mean, I got other things, but nothing critical, and we should do some questions. Let me start. Okay. Continuing the tradition, Azutalan has sent us an email that just says Fruit Warriors and has a video attachment or a picture attachment. So there we go. This harkens back to some things Azutalan has said on the blog about an anime series that he watches. That is, I think it's the whole, when he asks us about the tokusatsu thing, because he watches a tokusatsu where everybody has fruit powers, and like their weapons are pieces of fruit and their armor is fruit. And he apparently has conservatively 800 items from it. So cool.
It's a lot. There are a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, as some of us could sort of see in the picture. I don't know what else to do with that. I mean, Azutalan, you can attach images to the blog, so if you want other people to see it, go for it. It is an impressive collection of Fruit Warriors.
This upsets me a little bit, honestly.
What part?
The fact that there are so many of these figures. I mean, back up. I'm not upset that there are so many figures. What I'm upset at is I can think of a lot of properties where I would love it if there were this many figures. And there are none. But this
meanwhile,
property,
the Fruit Warriors.
Yeah, it's all these things. And I'm not good. I'm glad that's happened, because that means that the properties I like that have no figures, there's no excuse. Because
it is funny, the vagaries of IP and merchandising. I mean, I was just watching one of the channels that I watch that mostly talks about bad movies and does silly reviews has been doing this thing lately where it's been talking about old TV shows that like were on the air for 8 episodes or whatever that you might want to try and find. And it had one that I think I may have talked about before on here called Automan. And it was a crime fighting show where this guy invented essentially a holographic dude and he solved crimes with Tron like special effects. And it lasted like there. I think there were 13 episodes and they didn't even air the last one. That's how poorly it did. But in anticipation of it being a monster hit, they made all of the toys. There were so many toys for this show that no one watched. And yet, meanwhile, you got shows that were a huge hit and then nobody bothered to really move on the merchandising. So nothing exists.
Yeah.
And
like, okay, so we watched She-Ra, you know, the newer
the new one. Yeah. I've heard very good things.
Nothing.
Yeah. That is surprising.
In terms of toys.
I haven't watched that or the new He-Man. Those are both on my list. Thank you for reminding me of something, though. Important. We watched something else. We started watching a new show.
Okay.
On Disney Plus. The Owl House.
The Owl House. Yeah, I've seen that. Is it any good?
Yes, I believe it is.
Oh.
I was sent to it for 2 primary reasons. One, a lot of people are pushing it forward of, hey, are you annoyed as shit about J.K. Rowling and it's kind of ruined Harry Potter for you? Here's an alternative that actually has sort of a cooler magic system and a lot of the stuff you like about Harry Potter and not a lot of the shit you don't like about Harry Potter. So check it out. And then the other one was a slightly more personal one from a friend of mine who said, quote, it is queer as hell. Which this person always likes that. And I don't dislike that at all. So, you know. And so I started watching. It is a animation. The animation style is not dissimilar from Disenchanted and by extension, you know, Futurama and that sort of look. It is a very silly show. In some ways, it does remind me of Disenchanted, but it seems much better. It is very, very clearly trying to be extremely progressive. The main character is Hispanic and their mother does like sort of speak Spanglish and things, and the big push is people being weird is a cool thing and all that kind of stuff,
right?
And we've only watched one episode, but it was funny, it was adorable. I'm excited to watch more of it. So I'm a little shocked it's Disney's puppy, but it is. But at this point I highly recommend it. It's great. It is definitely geared towards younger people, but as adults we loved it. It was great. Like it's a solid PG rating, I would say, but it really enjoyed it. I think it also hits that Adventure Time niche, so if you were a big Adventure Time person, it's sort of that too.
Other properties that I could never find toys for, there's just been a lot of them, you know. I mean, that's one of the first things I think when I see a genre property that I like, that I think would reasonably have toys, like not like The Conjuring or something, but like a superhero thing or like She-Ra, an animated thing.
Alien had toys. Fucking Alien had toys.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Todd McFarlane shit you buy at cons. I mean, when the movies were a big deal, they were selling toys to kids where you had the aliens, you know, the things that rape their way into your stomachs and then kill you as they explode, and space marines and shit. Oh, the 80s. Oh, my God.
Although it's hard to find some of that stuff when you go look for it.
Well, yeah, but now, because eventually they were like, this might have been a terrible idea.
Well, you know, could
buy a 24-inch Xenomorph. Kids.
Yeah.
They were commercials for kids. Toy Galaxy is an amazing channel, people. Go check out Toy Galaxy.
It really is. Oh, video games. Like, there's lots of video games that when you're done playing it, you're thinking, this would be perfect for action figures, and there just aren't any. And it just drives you nuts that they don't have them.
For me, it's I watch a thing. And I'm like, I really want more stories in here. Or I really ship these two people, and that's not happening in the TV show. And I'm like, I wonder if there's fan fiction out there. And the cool thing for me is the answer is always yes.
Yeah, right, right. That's right.
Always yes. Sometimes I'm like, wow, people writing this fan fiction are way more into this aspect or these characters than I am. I was really hoping for more this, and that can be annoying, but it's always there. Somebody wrote fan fiction about it.
Oh, how I got to be, I mean, I've never personally purchased a lot of action figures. A lot of people purchase them for me because I think they know I like them. So I have a lot of Batman stuff because people bought it for me. But like my brother, my older brother is really into action figures, and Abby is too. So I kind of get into them more because, oh, she would really love this action figure kind of thing. And she'll get into something and it'd be like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they had figures? And we look, nothing, not one single thing. In fact, you know, right now, this isn't really about action figures. This is kind of related. She would like to get a statue or some kind of a statue of a female pirate. But they're remarkably hard to find. And the couple you can find are ridiculous and stupid looking. It's just really hard to find one. And she was kind of surprised by that because she thought, surely someone has made a statuette or a vignette statue kind of thing. But no, it's like, why is this so difficult? There's plenty of male pirates, plenty of them. And now that I think about it, they're all white, but there's almost no female ones except maybe two. And of course they're dressed in a ridiculous way that she doesn't like.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is the Keira Knightley character from Pirates. There might be some versions of her. And
you're right about that.
There's probably characters from the anime One Piece. And I'm sure there are characters in there that qualify as female pirates. What they look like, and if they're at all what one would want, I don't know, but there's surely merchandise of them. But it would be in a very specific style. Yeah, no.
But then Azure Talon wants to find fruit warriors, and he gets basically all of them. I mean, I'm glad that happens in the world.
I mean,
why isn't it happening?
If you want action figures, having Japan on your side is a real boon.
Oh, that's right. That you're right about that.
That's the thing. Nobody in this, Azure Talon's literally the only person in this country who gives two shits about that. I promise you. But the entire nation of Japan has a shelf like that in their homes. Every single person in Japan has that shelf. So it helps out. You reminded me. So I have to go to Walgreens the other day, which I don't normally do, but I was at Walgreens and I'm at the checkout line. I want to say there was a long line. There wasn't a long line. There was one lady who, for some reason, it was taking a really long time. I don't know why, but so I'm sitting there looking at all the impulse items and I see they're selling masks with different IP on them.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And at a guess, it was Warner Brothers because we saw a bunch of DC stuff and some Hanna-Barbera stuff and some old, like Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes and shit like that. So I'm like, this is probably Warner Brothers. But Warner Brothers. And I'm like, it's dumb. It costs like $2. Maybe I'll find a Batman one for William. And I start looking and it becomes clear very fast. No, I will not.
Oh,
because the Batman were surely the first one to get picked out. Like all that's in there now. There's no Superman either. Tom and Jerry. I think I saw one Tweety Bird and an amazingly large amount of Scooby-Doo. And that was it. And as I was looking, I was like, what? Oh, of course. Of course. Because nobody's like, oh, I can finally get that Scooby-Doo mask I've been wanting. No, everybody's like, oh, Batman? All right. Oh, Superman? Yeah. No, like easy stuff. So yeah. So I didn't get you one. I was going to.
Oh, well.
But they were gone.
It's a thought that counts.
I mean, it would have been shitty. I would not have recommended it for actual use. But I just thought it'd be cool with Batman mask, you know?
Yeah, people like to get me Batman stuff. I have a lot of Batman things that other people have gotten me. I don't know why, I see things that I think are cool all the time, and then I just put them back, and people have asked me, it's like, do you want that? It's like, yeah, that would be cool to have. Why don't you just buy it? And I can't explain why I won't. I mean, it's not, I usually have the money, and I've had the inclination. I think just some part of my brain is like, I don't have anywhere to put that, or it's just going to gather dust somewhere.
That's my thing. I've got a bunch of things like that, but I'm like, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to take it home. It's going to sit in somewhere prominently displayed, but not particularly convenient until the next time I clean. And then I'm going to move it out of the way. And then I'm going to forget about it for 7 years.
Yeah. Something like that. So that just,
I don't display things or whatever. It's fun to go to other people's houses and see what they have.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's not what I do. The only time I did this stuff is having a cubicle at work, and I would buy stuff and I would put it in the cubicle. And that's how I got out of the Funko Pops and everything like that. Guess what? All of that stuff is still in the box I put it in when I left my cubicle for last time. I have not taken it out to set it up in the house. I keep thinking maybe I will, but let's be realistic.
Well,
which is too bad, because I got some badass Funko figures.
My cubicle box I packed in 2006.
Yeah.
And it's still there.
I mean,
you remember when my
cubicle set that on fire by this point.
You remember my cubicle box? It had an A-wing in it. It had all kinds of, it had a Buzz Lightyear in it. It had all kinds of things.
It had a full-sized wicker couch.
Anyway, the box is pretty big of all the stuff that I had in my cubicle.
Fuck that. Where's the couch? I lived on that couch. Where'd it go?
The couch? I left it.
Why? You brought it. It didn't start there. I think somebody got that for you when you got the supervisor's job.
They might have, but I didn't take it with me. And there was a really ratty looking old plant. I left that too.
Oh my God. So
a lot of stuff.
So when my dad died, they gave me a philodendron, which was very thoughtful because philodendrons are one of the harder to kill plants. And believe me, we've come close with this one. But I tried to do it for a while. I wasn't very good at it. I left it up to Trish because Trish is the green thumb. And then eventually she's like, I've been really bad at this. You should get back into it, like, because you're here all day. So working on it. So it's doing okay. It's sitting in sort of a temporary, not very convenient place, especially given that you have to water it. But it's healthy and it's growing. And I was like, do we plant this outside at some point? She's like, no, it's not. It's an annual. If you plant it outside, it'll do great until winter, and then it'll die and it'll be gone. And so I'm like, okay. And so just recently I've been like, so what's our fucking end game with this plant? Like, it's not, it's not in a good place now. It's not in a particularly decorative place or useful place. It's in an out of the way place. Most places in our house, we can't put it because the cats will try and eat it. I'm like, what do I do? And it's so funny because I'm like, this was people's heartfelt thinking of you in your time of despair. And now I'm like, you have just created a fucking millstone around my neck. But I'm not a monster. I'm not going to be like, let's just fucking throw it out. Or, you know what? Let's plant it and we'll enjoy it for 2 months and then it'll freeze to death. Like, so, I mean, I'm still keeping it, but it's like the stepchild I never wanted at this point. I'm like, why do I have this? What am I going to do with this?
But when my grandfather died in 1985, I was given a plant that I took to college that I think lasted through my 10-year first marriage. I mean, I had it for a long time because it's like,
it was plastic.
No. Because it felt like, you know, this is a memorial to my grandfather. It just seemed wrong to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So I had this it for years.
This one, I do not ever think of my dad when I see it. I think of the receptionist who organized getting me this plant. And nice, I don't have particularly strong feelings for her.
I don't still
Fun
have
fact,
it. Eventually,
her
died.
Son just lost a city council election.
Too bad.
And my friend and coworker just won same city council election. I was very pleased.
No, the it did eventually die because I can't believe it survived as long as it did because I was so bad at taking care of it. I felt a little bad about it, of course, because I'd kept it for so long for my grandfather, but I also felt like granddad would not care about this plant or about me having it. So maybe it's okay forget it. He wouldn't have cared about that. So it's like, yeah, why did I really worry about this plant for so long? I mean, it was kind of nice to actually have around, but in fact, I think I had it in the office for, I don't know if you remember, I kind of had a vining plant that kind of went around the cubicle a little bit. I think that was the one.
I've blocked out most of the years we worked together.
And then,
I only remember the time when I talked to you out of 10 bucks by telling you an episode of The Simpsons.
You also remember the time where I was telling you.
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do. You know why? Because that was the first time in my life that I experienced gaslighting firsthand. Motherfucker. Purpose,
come on.
Trying to make me think I'm crazy.
I heard about this thing before. And it seemed impossible that I would know, didn't it? Didn't it seem impossible that I would know?
100%. Like,
yeah. So,
like,
how else
could I know? I was just staring at myself in the mirror every night, being like, what is going on with you? Who are you for real? Do you get up in the middle of the night and tell people about Simpsons episodes and then forget them yourself? What has happened? Is The Simpsons real? Are you real? What is your name? What's your name really? For days.
I felt bad about that, actually, that I could.
That was hilarious.
Totally forgot.
I tell that story all the time. All of that story. All right, we are over.
Story about us. That's a great story about us. Like, when I die before you, that's going to be a great story to tell people at my funeral.
I mean, big man claiming to die first. I feel like I'm working harder at it than you are. So we'll see. Just today in therapy, I kept talking about you because you are the source of most of my problems. But it was funny because I was like, I was like my creative partner, my partner, the guy I do the podcast with, all stuff like this. And then after like the fifth time, I was like, you know what? William. His name's William. He's come up before. He's going to come up again. I can just say William. So then I started saying William. But for some reason at that point, I was only referring to you by like your position in things. And then I was like, I don't do that with any other person in my life that I talk about. I say Trish. I mean, I said my wife like the first time, my wife, Trish. But then I just say Trish. So
you thought you were being respectful of my privacy or something.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's how I usually have a conversation. Because if I'm talking with people and you come up and it's not somebody who like knows you, I'll be like my podcast partner or my creative partner, whatever, right, or the guy I do the podcast with. And sometimes I may say William, the guy I do the podcast with, but like I don't expect them to retain that information for next week. But in this one, I'm like, it's going to come up. We see each other every week. She's clearly proven her ability to remember my wife's name or at least nod when appropriate in context. I don't know why I'm dragging my feet on giving this name out. So, but then.
Oh, well.
All right. For the rest of you, please write in. We need more stuff and ideally things we can read. I mean. Yeah.
Just pictures. It helps.
I'm not going to say pictures are bad.
Pictures aren't bad.
Because I'm too polite to say that. But things we can read, jumping off points for, I mean, this is a bad example because Fruit Warriors has launched us into a whole thing. It was great. But normally, like words, nom, 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 we'll eat up those words and it'll be good. So do that. But please write in because I know it doesn't seem like it. But we are going through these faster and we don't have as many of them. And so it's a real issue. So let's do that. And otherwise, in the blog, give us tasks to do. We still won't do them, but we might talk about their efficacy. And depending on what they are, we might do. If it's like eat a whole bunch of candy, I might do it. We'll see. Pick on William for an hour. I might do that one. We'll see. Anyway, listen again next week. And I mean, let's be honest, this is great entertainment. Where are you going to go now?
yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.